September 13, 2021, Swap Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Happy Monday. Started off the show with John Coltrane and Miles Davis around midnight. And then Craig Sturgeon. That's two words, people. Wiggle Room. That's one word. And right away, you might be a sleuth about it and know or guess that I'm not Man Alone because of those software engineers at Stony with their Skype invention. I got Brother Crank Sturgeon on board. Welcome aboard, Crank.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Well, where are you talking to me from?
I'm talking to you from where the Wi-Fi connection is strongest here in my place in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine.
Booth Bay Harbor, Maine.
That's right.
Okay, that's starboard side. And we got to thank Brother Al Margolis of Chester, New York for making the connect.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. He was just up here, actually. He was trucking through, came up. He was heading even further north than where I am.
It seems every little bit he's getting looking more like Mr. Natural. We go back that far, right? We go back
that far.
Fucking Charlie Cornell, my buddy in Cherry Valley, he actually published the first Zap comic in the series. But let's talk about you. Brother Crank.
Okay, we're probably going to have to name drop Al a few more times. So.
Yeah, we will. We're going to play some fucking music from him, too. But please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, man. So many, because...
earliest.
Okay. Okay, let's see. All right, dialing back.
Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show, so there's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
I don't know, but this is pretty, this gets into the meta shit, so.
It's okay.
I want to say, like, a really good foundational memory that's among the earliest. I think, you know, we're not talking, like, infant or anything like that.
Whatever. Some guy told me about, like, 20s, and I said, you didn't remember anything as a kid? Nope. Okay.
Just completely obliterated the race.
Quote the Raven.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Let's see. I want to say my oldest brother, I had a large family, and I'm the youngest of the brood. My oldest brother and I share, our bedrooms were right next to each other. We have little tiny bedrooms, and I remember, gosh, I must have been somewhere in like the kindergarten, first, second grade range. He was an aspiring musician at the time and played bass. And I remember there were all sorts of rules about like being near his bedroom at certain times because he was always making tapes off of his record player. And if he stomped around, the record needle would skip and blah, blah, blah. So he had the record player in his room and his bass in his room. And I would always hear like a very quiet, gentle you know, unamplified because he had the headphones on, him playing bass. And I later learned he was teaching himself slap bass from this floppy vinyl called Slap It. And I just remember this like, and then, you know, the next phrase was being taught just over and over and over again. And it would just lull me into sleep. You know, I was like, I was always safe whenever I heard him playing unamplified bass in the next bedroom, you know, whatever time of night that was.
Yeah, like boogie dance, but you took it the other way to go conk. Now, did you ever get into his room when he wasn't there and jump on that bass?
Oh, that was verboten. Yeah, it's interesting, like the relationship with like music and my getting into music was that really didn't happen until I think he was out of the house. I think he graduated high school. There's like an 8 or 9 year age spread there. So
I've noticed a lot of these this last year, you know, I've been having 5 guests a week since November, mm-hmm. a lot of experimental cats. And it seems a lot of them have older brothers and sisters. I wonder if this, mm-hmm. if that's just coincidence or what the fuck.
It could be just the week. I don't know.
What about the first record you bought with your own money?
With my own hard-earned allowance / lawn mowing money, it was either it was a cassette. It might have been the first Police album. you know, Outlandos, or gosh, it
I actually had a 45 by those guys, but they had another. They didn't have the other guitar. They had another guitar.
Man. Oh, really? They had another guitarist other than Andy Summers?
They had a seasoned guy later. They had a guy, okay. You know, they were kind of from the early days, I guess. And it's a U.S. guy, and right, and Sting, the bass band, yeah. And they had another, I can't remember, but I remember the when the album came out, they'd have a reggae part and a rock and roll part. Music. Why not do the mule? What about first gig you saw, Craig?
Oh gosh, first gig. First good gig?
Or no. First live witness in a performance of music.
like the first cool ass gig I saw. Well, I think I went. No, this I guess. I'll backtrack. Like yeah, the first gig I saw was an arena show. I think it was REM, and I wished it was another band, but I was too young to see, like, the punk bands I wanted to see on my own. So I was, like, accompanying, again, like, older brothers to the show, also because my parents were like, you know, if you have to, like, look out for your little brother.
Chaperone rock. So
I mean, it was
besides,
a good show.
Besides that bass guitar being quarantined in your brother's chamber, was there other
couldn't touch it, man.
Was there other instruments in the pad you grew up?
Yes, yeah, for sure. Our folks were very, they were pretty open and pretty tolerant of us having musical instruments. So there was usually like a couple acoustic guitars here. All of my brothers were in band, including me. So I got, because I was the last of the litter. I got the hand-me-down band instruments instead of my folks. I wanted to play frickin' trombone because,
let's talk about horns. Let's talk about school. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
No, I wasn't in the marching band. I was too scared. But in elementary school, you know, it's kind of like the Simpsons episode, you know, with the elementary school band. I played clarinet, even though I desperately wanted to play trombone because I had a crush on someone who played trombone. But trombones were too expensive, so I got my brother's hand-me-down clarinet. So I was like second clarinet, blah blah blah, and I was like, you know, it just didn't feel as cool. But I stuck with it until about sixth grade, and then seventh grade, I was like, there was no way in junior high I was going to go into the marching band.
The licorice like, stick, yeah. Okay, what about in the afternoon with the garage band, basement band, bedroom band? Did you
oh yeah,
that?
For sure.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Those seeds started to plant themselves. I got to say, probably in eighth grade. Because, and this is also because, like, at that point, you're starting to form your own identity that's separate from that, which is sort of, like, within the codes of conduct that are administered by older siblings. So you're sort of discovering your own shit at that point. And and also, junior high was, like, way different from elementary school. It was a much bigger school. And there was a cool guy who, this dude always, he wore like a Billy Idol shirt and he always had a bandana and like really stood out from like the rest of the, you know, this is like the early 80s at this point. You know, he was like a new wave guy. I'm like, who is this guy? He became my best friend. And after a while, we were like, we got to start a band. And, you know, and he got a guitar and then he got a bass. And I was just like, all right, I gotta figure this out. Cause if he's got all the instruments, I gotta get an instrument other than like the janky old friggin' acoustic guitar in the house.
Right.
So yeah, I ended up getting,
and you ain't gonna do the clarinet, you're past that.
No, well, you know, that would come later when I would get into experimental stuff.
Ain't that a trip? Right? Don't ever let go, right? Because it might come back for round two.
Oh, hell no. And I did get that trombone eventually, too.
See?
So,
the bone. Bass clef. Dig it. So,
but, yeah, I ended up getting, you know, begged and pleaded, and got, you know, it was a hand-me-down electric guitar from one of my older brother's friends. But that thing ripped. It was so freaking awesome to have, you know, it was an SG copy, but it was a real live electric guitar with like this, I can't even remember what the amp was.
Yeah, you must have got an amp with it, right?
Oh man, it was like was it an Earth? it had like it there was something defective about it because you turned it up to a certain volume and instead of distorting it farted. So maybe that was like, you know, eerily like, you know, anticipating prescient to like later Crank Sturgeon.
You're talking a premonition. You're talking a premonition, Crank. Okay, When We Were Army, let's play it.
What? God's goal. The answer is still.
Show that Chuck music started off Crank Sturgeon when we were Army. We're talking about
that's right.
Old Army days right now. Trouble
Maybe that was Acoustic. Dedicated to two brothers who were actually in the Army. So
yeah, okay, for you kids. Yeah. Trouble Called Acushna Pesci with Ava Gaspar, which is like the specter, Gaspar's ghost, okay? Or maybe Casper, huh? They're from, I think it's called Croatia now, but when this was recorded, Yugoslavia. Plan for Burial, Sleeping in Separate Rooms, Have a Nice Life, brand new from them. Blood Hall, Head Boggle, brand new. Ancient Trap, Bombs Prandin. They just did this, collaborated, not trading files, but put in big buffer time so they could be in real time on the internet. And the answer is this still, Crank Sturgeon. Okay, now, Crank, you and your buddy here, the new wave guy, the fucking lightning rod to channel your musical expression energy, Did you have a name for this unit?
We eventually did. We were, when we finally were able to convince a friend to be a singer and convince another friend who was 2 years younger than us to be our drummer, but he was literally the only drummer around. But you know, this is an eighth grade at this point. This was a long
I remember me and D Boone. I totally understand where you come from. Yeah. Brother Craig, yeah.
So I think by that point we were in 11th grade or late 10th grade. My friend and I always played music together, but when we finally got the band, it was punk. We were listening to like Day Glow Abortion.
Yeah, but did you guys have
like
a name? Did you have a
name?
Oh
yeah, that's what I'm alluding to, because we were wanting to frighten our parents or the Christians or whoever. We were called Fetus Garden.
Oh, Day Glow Abortion. Yeah, Vancouver, yep. Right? Yeah,
about yeah,
British,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe Victoria, that was somewhere British Columbia. And early First Nation, not First Nation. What's it called? Canada. Sorry about that. Sorry to everybody. I fucking didn't mean anything bad. But they were they're a band that goes way back to the DOA days and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think so.
Tell me about the first gig. Were they called Fetuses?
Fetus Garden.
Fetus Garden.
We didn't know that there was a sound garden at that point. So, this was 1987, 88, somewhere around there. We were just doing our own thing in our own freaking bubble.
Did you ever do a gig, or was it just a practice band?
We did, never like paid gigs, but usually like friends, basements, parties.
Well, tell me about the first one.
First one was, we practiced, and it was for a talent show in high school. And somebody had the notion to, I was plugged in incorrectly. Like they took like the line out of my amp and put it into the PA, and I was cutting out. It was a total embarrassment.
Okay, yep. So I'm not going to ask if the gig was a success.
No. I think, yeah, we were real,
so
yeah,
call those,
we were really green. And
yeah,
so
if you want to know some old Minutemen talk, in Minutemen days, we called those character builders.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that kind of gig where you're like, I'm never playing my instrument again. I mean, I've had those, it was just like, the thing is, like, there was another band on the talent show who won, who were totally polished, and they did like hammer ons on the guitar, like Eddie Van Halen, R.I.P.
I know, but let me ask you about the material though. What did you guys play? Were you playing originals?
No, they were all covers. At this point we were listening to a lot of like 7 Seconds and stuff like that, and so we did our version of their version of 99 Red Balloons.
You guys were the jukebox. Hey, what about, I remember when we played, first time we played Oklahoma City, the band in front of us played all, because punk at first, right, it was trippy to hear bands do cover a whole gig of punk covers, because there's a new movement and stuff. So, what about after high school? Do you go to higher education for music?
I did get higher. I did get higher. When I left the nest, I went to art school. I moved to the big city, Boston, Massachusetts.
Whoa.
Had aspirations of like starting bands with all the cool new people I was going to meet, and all of those aspirations fell flat on their face. And I kind of got, ooh, the guitar, ugh. What am I doing wrong with this? So there was a
sea change in your music life.
For sure. And, it was such a dichotomy at first. Cause it was like, okay, I'm here in Boston, and I got to see pretty much almost all the bands that I ever wanted to see at that point. Cause everyone was playing shows, at the Rat or wherever it was. And it was epic. I was like, Fugazi right in your face, it's just like, these awesome shows. So I still loved the music. But I think, you know, something in me was definitely changing because I was like, you know, it was probably my musical limitations. And it was also like getting other information and meeting other people who are, introducing me to, like, you know, Japanese noise and, you know, weird avant-garde and just, you know, other traditions of sound making. And at first, a lot of it was kind of like, you know, I thought it was pretty freaking pretentious.
Main cat? Like when you were younger, that one main cat got you into, you know, making a band. So a cat that you met who was into experimental music?
Yeah, it was a roommate my sophomore year, and he was a few years older than us. We had to live off campus, so it was just it was me and my dorky ass friends. sorry guys, and one of their older brothers. And the older brother, you know, he was like artist and scowling, chain smoking, always doing stuff, always like getting like cool postcards from all over the world. You know, it's what it seemed like, you know, and just like had his notebook and he was taking notes and smoking and he had his tape recorder and he's always recording weird shit. And he was like, your music's crap. You got to listen to this. And it's like, that's not jazz. This is jazz. He was the gateway. He was the linchpin that pulled the whole archway down and crumbled because he introduced us to, at first it was Cage. I'm like, this is bullshit. Kind of cool, but you know, kind of bullshit, you know, it's academic stuff. But then he was like, he introduced us to Zorn and like Anthony Braxton and free jazz. And like, it was the rabbit hole. And it was like, oh, there's this whole other way of doing stuff. And like Fred Frith and Keith Rowe and Prepared Guitar. And I was like, oh, that's what it is. It's like, the guitar doesn't have to be worn. You put it on a table and you
attack. Yeah, oh yeah, the AAM, right? I read about that with the Rob Chapman book on Syd Barrett. Had a huge influence on him. I'm glad Mr. Chapman wrote that book and told us all about it. Yeah, because, you know, everybody's full of influences from somewhere, right? Or we're all patchwork quilts.
We are.
That's not a bad thing. It means we've got a lot in common, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You just absorb the stuff. And, I mean, at that age, too, I mean, it's such a freaking critical age being, you know, 20 and searching for stuff. And you're a sponge.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I'm
exactly.
going to punk shows and I'm, like, just absorbing all this information around me.
I'd share the same thing with you, Brother Craig. We're at the end of the first hour, September 13, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show special guest, Craig Sturgeon. Hold tight for hour two. September 13, 2021, it's the second hour of the Pedro Show.
Of
You're like, icky?
Yeah, I know. Whatever. Walker Pedro Show started the second hour off with Crank Sturgeon doing... I've been enlightened to the fact it's Stoopst. And Brother Al Margolis. Right? L-R... Maybe it's L's? Lars? Lars Iyer? Can't copyright a title, people. Remember that. Zoku Metsu. This is a project fucking Ron Anderson. He was on the show a few months ago. Flower School for Unsuspecting Yakuza. Craig Sturgeon after that was Shanty Mist. Shanties were important shit if you were on a boat because you could coordinate all the muscles to get the fucking sails up.
It's part of my maritime upbringing.
Yeah. Well, my papa's a... He was nine decks down in an engine room, a machinist mate, but he was a sailor 20 years.
Oh, yeah?
He said, yeah, Navy, never again volunteer yourself.
Wow.
Well, he's seven, he was 17.
Was in the Coast Guard.
So. Oh, okay. We got a base right here in Pedro across the channel.
That's right.
Yeah, 100 yards from me when I do my hobbling in the morning. I look at it. They got the compound's got some palm trees and... They call them coasties, huh?
That's right. Yeah, I've only been to San Pedro once for...
Oh, you know what? I think the fucking Academy's New London or something, because I used to play there at the L&G Club. But anyway, back to your story. Tell me about Al Margolis, please.
Tell you about Al Margolis? Oh, my gosh.
Well, your connect, Brother Craig.
The connection with Al. Al and I, and in hindsight, I should have given you some of our recordings. Just to like make the connect.
You always can. I'll play it.
Next time we'll have Al and I both on. So.
Yeah. Well, he's coming back on the show real soon.
I met Al, just through the chain of friends, you know, here in the Northeast. I think we started playing festivals together, you know, going back 10, 12 years. And then, I was living in Western Massachusetts for a stint, maybe 6 years or so, and Al was pretty close. Chester's not all that far, and so we had a collaboration project with our buddy Walter Wright and Steve Norton from Boston and Lowell, and it was called Tough Day Tubing, and it was just a quartet, occasional trio, quartet, sometimes duo if no one else showed up, but Al and I were always there, and...
You were the core.
Playing down in Hudson or playing in Albany or, you know, wherever, just in that area, a little tri-state area. And just the joy of playing with Al is his volume spontaneity.
Well, Ron Anderson told me he plays really tiny.
He plays super tiny, and you have to, like, it's not like you're playing down, because he can be loud as fuck, too.
Okay.
But, but he, you know, he's like a, I mean, you know, I think it, through Al, I got really into, like, Pauline Oliveros and, like, the, you know, listening, the deep listening and the environmental listening and bringing the environment into, you know, your recording and your performing practice. And so playing with Al, we did a tour in 2019 together, playing duo and solos in Europe with our buddy Sasha, who booked us all these great gigs in, like, you know, Poland and Czech Republic and Germany. And doing the duets with Al was it was just a big old friggin' salmon grin on my face, you know.
Look, you gave me this piece of music and it's bitching in lieu of charming features.
Thank you. Thank you.
Connection with another artist, musician, and you develop a language that's basically your own, whether it's, you know, a duo, trio, or whatever. It's some sort of cerebral, you know, conjoined twin type thing. With Al, I definitely had it performed also a lot with another former guest, Idem Festival.
Also a Mainer.
Fucking A right now.
Okay. Let's tell the people what they just heard. A chunk of music started off Craig Sturgeon doing In Lieu of Charming Features. Then brand new from Tropical Fuckstorm, Suburbia, Mold Omen with If, Baltimore, Graf from Netherlands, Chamad 666, Invoce, La Machi, Totale from the Italian part of Switzerland. Let's chill. Of course, that's what they say. Meeting of the Mind, Craig Sturgeon with Witches of Malibu, a little collab here. I want you to tell me about that, but first we should backtrack, because that Boston experience with that chin stroker dude who hipped you guys to all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. At the same time, isn't there a big music school, Berklee School of Music? That's a different scene, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, that's where my oldest brother went. The bass player, he went there for college, you know, whatever, 8-9 years before me, and ended up falling in love with production. So that became his thing. But Berklee was really professional. I went to Mass College of Art, which was pretty much the opposite. We had a sound studio. And where we actually had pretty good instructors who taught us how to use this stuff, 4-tracks and the DAT, which was like the big technology at the time. No digital editing really beyond that, but just like getting your hands and feet dirty using analog gear and reel to reels and so forth. And, so yeah, that was sort of my introduction to that. Was like, you know, you'd sign out a 4-track and take it home and try to basically figure it out. And then you present your work to class and, you know.
So that stuff like that dude making field, the chin stroker, making the field recordings.
Yeah.
You started to incorporate that and using the 4-track as a musical instrument. Getting is like, you didn't use the synthesizer as a fake keyboard.
No, I didn't get into that stuff. You know, yeah. I was really like kind of, you know, working from the bottom up. You know, sure. We didn't have access to really good tools or instruments or anything schmancy. So it was like building contact mics from like a busted guitar cable and like the, you know, the when there were Radio Shacks, you could go there and like, you know, get the piezo element and encased in plastic, and you'd like twist it onto your guitar cable, and then you were like, holy fucking crap, I can amplify anything. And, you know, I had like, you know, my guitar amp, and, you know, eventually would got a 4-channel mixer and realized like, oh, mixing sound and incorporating, like when I got bored with guitar, I realized the guitar wasn't boring. It was just that I needed to develop a language with that incorporated other sounds, and then the guitar became just sort of like this bouncy junk palette with contact mics and radios and tape recorders and everything else that I could get my hands on that was basically like a dollar at the thrift store or whatever. So
you're talking like you make a little garden that's going to be the stuff you grow things in.
Post-fetus garden.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But you know what I mean? Or like a pocket knife, the carving knife. The guitar is not an end to itself. It's like the beginning of the to make sound pieces.
Totally, totally. Yep. It was basically like your diving board into the abyss of sound.
And right. It's like the sounds and a lot of cats, they're channeled down the kind of tollway of pedals.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the only way to get trippy sounds out of a guitar, right?
Oh, hell no. No, I mean, I couldn't afford pedals, so
necessity dictated the fucking medium.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, who needs distortion when I could plug it into my stereo and, like, you know, take, you know, and max the volume and the EQ on the stereo and then run it back into the recorder. You get this saturated distortion, and it's, like, through the roof better than any, like, you know, fuzz pedal at the time, at least. So it was... Yeah. That's what I was doing. I was just taking, you know, microphone inputs and putting the line out. And like,
there's no manual, right? The knowing's in the doing, so you're experimenting, like skateboarding and shit. Yeah,
totally. Yeah, it was like the punk ethos, but applied to, you know...
Well, I always think it was...
Whatever it was.
No, but I think it was an ethos. I don't really think it was a style of music. Maybe that's reducing it too much, because there's all kinds of... You know, it's a way of... parallel universe thing, you know, and so you could bring that to painting, you could bring that to other kinds of sound, you could bring that to literature, you know. I still, you know, 40, 50 years later, I look back and how they just want to trivialize all that shit, you know. Like it's some beats per minute and a haircut. We're at the end of the second hour, September 13, 2021, at this Watt Peter Show, special guest Craig Sturgeon. Hold tight, hour three. September
13th, 2021.
We're going to
get into trouble if we keep doing this.
So.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, Thank you.
Why for Pedro show? We're discussing some very heavy things off air, Pedro. Start off the third hour off with Firth. Of course, it had to be Firth. You know, it couldn't be second.
you really have to stop it.
Eviction after that, an excerpt from her piece for non-event quarantine series from Chris Cones. But he ain't the skull, whatever that is. This one's La Flange de Mal with Euro Disney. And then Burst Off as a Cumin Haggard Van Garbage Optic. Yeah, of course. Great church. So,
good job.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, Amar Gullis, for his own music and then inspiring people, many like you, such as yourself. But also, what about what you're talking 87 and stuff? So I'm thinking, because he the cassette thing is what I'm trying to talk about, Brother Craig. This culture of people trading cassettes, right? You were part of this thing?
I came into it a few years after that. We were trading mixtapes when we were teenagers, but like the weird stuff didn't kind of. It was mostly punk, you know, dubs of punk and dub, you know, like the over, you know, just dub till it just sounds like.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. Well, that's how we got turned on to all the bands. Mixtapes were important. Yeah. But this thing sounds like it was original music. I think he evolved it to a CD label later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he did. I mean, I jumped into the tape trading thing probably 91, 92 when I was in college in art school. That's when Crank Sturgeon came out, you know.
Yeah,
when
Is that your first entry into the. You know, hey, listeners.
Yep, that was it. It was totally inspired because basically I wanted to get cool shit in the mail.
yeah, why not? That goes back to comic book days, right? Those fucking little, where were they? Little sea monkeys? They have tuxedos on and shit. It never came in the mail. It was always these fucking dried out. Fucking whatever's.
it was a type of shrimp. It wasn't.
Yeah, brine shrimp.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like Peter Tork. No, no monkeys with little crowns on.
So, what was your first contribution?
Let's see. I think it was my first real summer living in Boston. And I was, you know, I'd work and I'd come home and I'd put on the headphones. And just make noise. And I was like, I got to do something. I got to give this to my professors and my friends. And I can't give them my real name. And so I at that point was like doing a lot of wordplay, like really into Dada and surrealism. And I really liked the idea of a hand cranked fish, you know, like, you know, imagine like the bean grinder of a coffee bean grinder. Attached to like something archaic, some primordial thing, and I was like, "Oh, it's a fucking sturgeon, duh." So I was like, "That's how I signed my name, Crank Sturgeon." And I was like, "Huh, that's interesting." The name kind of stuck because the note, this idea of a crank was like, you know, churning, grinding. That's what the sound was to me.
Yeah.
But it needed to be anthropomorphized somehow.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as a kid, I was always drawing comics where I was like, you know, I was like, I featured myself as like some weird monster in amongst all the other things. So it was like playing from that, you know, grabbing from like, basically, like giving myself permission to do the most uncool thing possible from the hipsters in art school, which was like just like start building like junky cardboard costumes and becoming like this weird like gibbering idiot fish man with like a, you know, some frigging like esophageal speaker attached to his throat and running around and interrupting art openings. And so that's kind of like the performance persona. Was part of that tape as well. It was like, oh, it's finally like it's coalescing because I was like, it was like the performance, it was the tape, and I was also like doing like really like disgusting, not in any lewd, you know, salacious way, but just like really painful, jittery like VHS video type. Video pieces that were just like, you know, maxing out the color and saturating it and like 100 million edits that it's just like, it's going to induce, you know, some form of seizure type video. And I was like, that became Crank Sturgeon too. So it was like, this is a name I could put on all of my shit. You know, it's like, it's Crank Sturgeon. And so, and then like the tapes started to, you know, I'd send them out and, you know, it's like any band, anyone who's like, here's my beautiful thing that I made and I'm going to put it out there and everyone's going to love it. You know, is dead silent, crickets, no response.
So, oh no!
It's like,
that's a character builder.
Yeah.
Look, you gave me this. You gave me this boots by once, and a little pun rock here because the by has an E in it, of course.
Hello, hi. Hello, hi, hello, hi, hello, hello, hi, hello,
past, nothing more you care to you. I heard the sound of your sigh, there was nothing to you.
Going down to Offenbach today. Man, we're gonna get upon that train. But that train ain't going nowhere, you see. But it's rocking inside, you see. If that wagon's rockin', you gotta come and knock. Mm-hmm. there's toast, my man. Handing out a few drinks. Got a plan. There's my boy Nico. He's cooking up some of his experimental food. Cause you know me, you know. If you're in the wagon, you're gonna be having a good time. If the wagon's rocking, come a knocking. Yeah, if the wagon's rocking, come a knocking. Yeah, if the wagon's rocking, come a knocking, knocking, knocking on that door. If that wagon is rocking, you better come and knock it.
Watt for Pedro, last music for this edition. Craig Sturgeon with Boots By Once. Then out of Berlin, Nadja with Ketene. Or Ketene. Yeah, come on. I butcher everybody's language. I'm sorry. Like Kishibashi for Every Voice That Never Sang. Tim Hohouse. He's up Montana now. Tim Hohouse out of England. Wagon. Plasterman. Ithaca, New York. While I Wait. And finally, Craig Sturgeon, the Smug Rube in Quietude. That's bitching. You know, I didn't ask you about the fucking, because all these have been, like you said, Craig Sturgeon, you know. Turn that handle, puppet. I mean, George Hurley, right? Mr. Robot's Holy Oars. Turn the handle, puppet. But it just came to me, fuck, for 35 years. There was one duet here, which yes. is a Malibu. Were you in Cali?
I have a back and forth relationship with Southern California. My wife and I moved out there 3 years ago, and it's just because of work, you know, it's the bi-coastal thing. So lo and behold, when we landed in Claremont, California, there were these noise people really nearby, and which is a Malibu was my neighbor for, he was like a mile away, and Henry Amps for Christ was like a mile and a half away. It was like these like
wow fucking, like, I think that's a cat new brother
insane like noise brother, heroes icons man
well fucking brother icons. Brother Steve McKay, I think I might know this guy, I recorded at his pad maybe, Kamilski from the Czech Republic, I think. See, I always get it mixed up. Claremont and Montclair, they're next door to each other. And they
yeah, 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 Claremont, Montclair.
But they're like night and day, way different. Like, one's Ball Land now. The other one's got like four or five universities and like JPL and shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a collab that came out of nowhere just because of coincidence where you ended up working. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, just living out there, and Scott was my neighbor, and right. we're like, you know, it's like every, you know, if you meet a noise person somewhere, sure. you're like, you want to hang out? Want to record? Okay.
Well, over the years, Brother Crank, over the years, has the scene changed? Did the internet change stuff?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I don't know if it got better or, you know, I don't kind of want to go into any sort of like making judgments.
Happy because, days. My pops yeah, said you know, that
I,
show came on.
Like,
you said
daily,
you had Fonzie and Potsy shit. That's what I'm talking about. My pops said when that show came on, he said, "Boy, those were not happy days."
Hey. Okay. My favorite show growing up was probably Happy Days.
You know what? Things are the way they are. The old guys are running after trains, saying you're going too fast. I mean, the trains are going right. to keep going. Right? Look, where can people find you on the internet, Brother Crank?
They can find me on Bandcamp. Crank, you know, do the.
Do you have your own website? Is what I'm asking.
I got my own friggin' website, cranksturgeon.com, which gives you it's the
spell
gateway
it for
drug.
People. Spell it for people.
CRANKSTURGEON.com.
Wow, that's bitching. And your next play, are you recording? You got stuff ready to come out?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we're working on our place here. I got to winterize my studio.
Yeah, it's coming.
And we got everything rolling and got all the knobs ready to, you know, twirl and plug in and. Yeah, a number of projects that have been on the back burner but are now going to come into fruition once
the... When they fruit up, will you come back on the show? We can play and talk about
them? Oh, hell yeah. Yep. Give me a few months and I get the master.
Yeah, well, so. Dude, I'm scheduled up until fucking New Year's and then I'm going to go back to one a week because I got to start touring again in March when I help Mike Baguette out, but... I love to have back you on.
Can't wait to tour again.
I love what you're doing. He's a Western Mass guy, but he's living in Gainesville now. Go Gators. But I love what you're doing. Please keep on keeping on.
That's the plan. So.
Okay, great plan. People, September 13th, 2021, this Wat Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.